Okay, let's take our Bibles and go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to finish up this section here about God's most useful book. So if you're able to, let's just stand for a moment. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Father, thank you for your word. We pray for your blessing upon our time here. Teach us, I pray. Lord, we ask that you would allow us to stay focused on what your truth says. And then, Lord, may we gain from it and be able to live out those things that you'd have us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking as I was getting ready to come up here, that we are blessed with a written revelation of God's truth. And think about it for a moment. If you were back in Old Testament times, or even if you were in a, let's say, New Testament before the New Testament was finished, but in that era after Christ, and maybe you're in the church at Galatia, or one of those churches, or in the church at Corinth, or something like that. And so the written revelation of the New Testament was not finished, and so you had a prophet come in, and he spoke. Let me ask you, how much of it would you remember? Some, but probably not all. What did I speak about this morning? No, I'm just out. You don't have to tell me. Because I'd have to think first. So what I'm saying is, God in his kindness wrote it down so that you don't have to keep, okay, what did he say? Boy, and then you talk to someone, I think he said it that. No, I think he said it this way. No, didn't he say it? And so we know what God said. And so God in his kindness has given us in a written form, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's a great blessing. And so as we get into it, as Paul says here, that Timothy in verse 15, he says, "Boy, you've known it since you were a child." Apparently his mom or grandma read it to him and talked to him about it. And it was through that he, of course, obviously understood salvation. But he goes on to say, as we've been looking through this about Scripture and how it's put together. And so tonight I want to continue that and just look at two blessings that the Bible can bring to you. And we saw the usefulness of its content. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed it out through men for us, and it's therefore profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. And so we talked about that being, the Bible tells us what is right from God's perspective. I was reading something the other day, and I thought it was interesting. Speaking of the Scripture and calling it the written, well, they didn't call it written, they called it the revealed will of God. And what do you do with the revealed will of God? There's one primary thing. You believe it, and then what? Obey it. I mean, that's... So it's not like, okay, I wonder, is this the right direction to take this? I wonder if, is this really how I'm supposed to understand? No, disobey it. So God has given to you in his word. He's written to you what is right, and so we just have to follow it. The second point, God tells us what is wrong from God's perspective. That's the reproof. That's where God tells you your faults and your failures and says, there it is. There's what's wrong. There's what needs to be dealt with. And so God tells us that. We looked at that. And then last week we looked at what the Bible tells us how to get right from God's perspective. That's correction. So after he reproves you, he doesn't leave you on your own. He says, okay, let's get this right. Let's get this corrected. Let's get you back in the right direction. And so God tells us how to get things right with him. Getting it right, not only as you read the Scripture. In fact, I was telling someone the other day, they were asking, well, how should you deal with this? And I said, it was talking about not being bitter, how to get forgiveness and ask for forgiveness, and so a combination of those things. And I said, technically, the Bible says that if you know your brother's ought to, you should try to correct him. If you know your brother's done something wrong, you're supposed to confront him. So technically, you should both be somewhere in the middle to deal with the situation, both because you've offended and you have been offended, offender, I guess it is. So you want to get both those right. So God says, I want you to get it right. And then tonight, about the Bible tells you how to stay right. So that's for instruction in righteousness. God's solution meets present needs, but he wants to give you a long-term fix for that problem. And so he wants to lead you down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And so where do you learn that? Where do you find that? In the Scripture. It's in the Bible. So God says, okay, here's the right things to believe. When you're wrong, I'll point it out to you. I'll tell you how to get right. And then once you get right, I'll tell you how to stay right. I'll give you instruction in the way of righteousness. Now, interesting, and you know, I usually go, that word instruction, it is used in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 4. Fathers, to bring up your children in the what? Someone who has that memorized? Nurture and admonition. Well, that word nurture is the same word instruction here. And really, as we talked about last week, it has aspect of child training. And there's two aspects of child training. There's the negative, that's correcting what's wrong. And there's the positive, that's directing them in what is right. I think the emphasis here is directing on what's right. But it is that same word used in Hebrews 12 for chastening. That's the getting the things that are wrong, dealing with those. But I think here the emphasis in 2 Timothy is the prodding, the pushing, the guiding of training us, directing us in that way which is right. So in that, I was thinking through this a little bit, I'm just focusing on the training for what is right. So it's directing in that right way. There's two asks. One is instruction. If a child is to know what to do, then there is some point blank looking at them and saying, here is what you do. Here is how you are to do it. But then there's another aspect to think of child training, and that is, as you said, communicating part of yourself. In other words, when you're talking to your children, training them in the right direction, in the same way God does this too, He not only tells you how to do it, but you're giving yourself to that child. That's what communication is. It's explaining your heart. And I think that's what God does in His Word. He not only shares with us what to do, but He shares Himself. And how do you find that out? How do you know that? In His words. And so we get into the Scripture to find out that personal side of God, that presence, His personality. And so God wants you to develop what is right, but also develop a relationship with Him. So I want to emphasize that personal side of that. The Scripture is not just a book of information. Okay, well, here it is. It's instruction in righteousness. It's God sharing His heart with us. And so He says, I want you to get to know me. I want you to get to know what I'm like and how I act. And so He gives us His Word. He gives us Himself through what He's communicating to us. Remember, in the beginning was the Word. What does that emphasize? Who is that? Jesus, okay? But what is He called? The Word. Because He's communicating the Father. He's communicating God to humanity. So from the very beginning, when God talks about His Word, speaking this about the written form and not the living form, which was Jesus, He's still communicating Himself. And so I'm thinking about that personal side. So look at the Scripture as God communicating Himself to us. So when was the last time you allowed that letter to make you think about Him? You know, some people today, when they, it's not uncommon to hire a personal trainer. Sometimes a personal trainer is for someone who's never exercised, and so they, I've never met one, but a personal trainer can, someone, so they don't hurt themselves at the gym. So they tell, okay, here's how to do this, here's how to do this. And then other personal trainers are for a professional athlete, who to get him to be as fit as he can be so he can be at top performance in his game. And so both of those are true. In fact, I read one thing that they even have personal trainers for diet and for lifestyle changes and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, well, just make a choice. Come on, make a decision. That's what you need. But anyway, so a personal trainer. And so they hire someone who can take the basic principles of fitness and apply it to that individual, because every individual is different. Different personalities, different fitness levels, different ages, different purposes. You know, someone may be, you know, coming from smoking and they're quitting smoking and they realize they're high and they got to do some movement. So they hire a personal trainer to figure out what to do. So he can be in a lot of different gamuts, but the key is take the basic principles and apply it personally. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit comes within you. And He wants to be your personal trainer. So He takes the Scripture and He says, this is for you, right here, right now. And so we got to be in it to hear from the personal trainer If we want to hear the Holy Spirit, I think we need to be in the Word, knowing the Word, and allowing it to saturate our minds, saturate our hearts, and so God can show us what He would have us to do. And so He wants to give us this instruction on a personal level, instruction in the way of righteousness. God wants you to be building your godliness, righteousness, but He also wants to be building your relationship with Him who is righteous. When you are with someone a lot, communicating with them a lot, how many have ever caught themselves somewhere along the way, if you've been with a certain friend, and you know your friend has a certain gesture or a certain facial expression or a certain phrase, and you're away from that friend and you're talking to someone else, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, I'm doing the same thing my friend always does. How many have ever caught themselves doing that? Okay. I remember one time many of you know Dr. Jim Berg, who is back at Bob Jones, and I remember going through a set of lessons. It was a class I was taking, but I remember standing in the pulpit. I don't remember if it was here or back in Wenatchee. And I remember standing in the pulpit, and I used a phrase, and right in the middle, you know, I didn't dialogue it, but I still remember saying, "Ah, that was a Bergism," and I took the phrase from what he said, and I used it in the same way he used it, and I thought, I was influenced. And so God says, hey, I want you to get in my Word, and I want you to know what I'm like, and I want you to see me face to face, not just to know the words that are said, but to know the person behind them so you're influenced. And so you start talking like me and acting like me and like my son. And so God says, I want you to be in there doing that. And when he applies that to us, let's remember 1 Timothy 4:7, which says, exercise thyself unto godliness. Back a little personal trainer concept. Let's follow through with it. So those are the usefulness of Bible content. And then the second point in verse 17, I'll call it the purpose for Bible instruction. It says there that the man of God, and of course he's talking to Timothy, the preacher boy, which was probably in his 30s, maybe even up to almost 40. But anyway, Paul's talking to a preacher, so that's why he uses the man of God. But the influence of God's word upon the man of God is the same as if it was upon any individual who is in the Word of God. And so he says, I want you to be in the Word, O man of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So he said, I want you to be learning doctrine, get reproved, be corrected, be instructed in righteousness, that you may follow through and be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto the work that God has called you to do and the work that God wants you to do. So two thoughts here, two ways that God's Word prepares you for service. And I put the first one, it readies you for service. Perfect. It makes you perfect. Okay? Anybody reached that perfect plateau yet? Okay. So it's not spiritual, sinless perfection. In fact, it's often thought of as spiritual maturity, and I would back it up just a little bit, and I'm going to say it's not so much maturity, but spiritual readiness. And I'll show you why I get to that idea. There are two terms in the New Testament that are translated, well, I think there's more than that. A primary one that's not used here is the idea of going the end of a course and you've gone to the end, it's perfect. You've met the end of it. It's the end result of where you were going, where you were planning to go. Okay, and so that's a term that's often used, and that's the aspect of maturity. There's an end you were going for, and you've reached that. You've matured as far as that aspect of things is concerned, and so you've made it to the end. Now, this term here, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament. It's not so much the process of the growing to the end and thus being perfect in that sense, but it has the aspect of you're there and you're now, you're ready, you're fit. You've got everything you need to work in that present situation. In fact, the root of this word, because it's an adjective, perfect, the adverb, which is the root, means now. At this time. And I think what God's saying is, God says, I've got you to the place that you read the Word of God, you study it, you get to know it, it influences you, so you're ready to do that good work, whatever it happens to be. God says, I want you to be ready at this very moment in time. And so that's what God's Word does for it. It makes you ready. It molds you. It makes you. It gets you spiritually sound and all that kind of stuff. Makes you more like Christ. And so God says, I want you to be ready. God wants you to be, how should I put it? Let's. We all have times where we're not as spiritual as we ought to be, or as we want to be. We're maybe a little carnal. You ever got to school and felt like that? I shouldn't ask you that. I would feel more carnal going with kindergartners probably than anywhere else. But at times, being a pastor, at times there people will come and knock, say, "Pastor, can I talk to you?" And there's been times where just, you know, things are going wrong, and I'm not. I mean, I can't say I'm really wrong with God, but I'm not all the way where I should be, and I feel like, you know, I'm not quite as ready. And yet, you don't have that option. And you know what? You're at work, and you know the people you work with, and they're not saved, and they're watching you, even when you don't know they're watching you, and they're keeping an eye on you, and they're just seeing how you react and you respond and you deal with things, how you look at people, how you get your work done. I mean, they're watching, and you don't even know they're watching, but they are. And God says, you know what? I want you in the Word, so you're ready. So you're ready. You're ready to do good works at the moment when you need to be ready. I had a friend of mine who was a chief on an aircraft carrier in the Navy. And he said that we did drills over and over and over again, so much so that I think we could do our duty in our sleep. Just because you went through it over and over again. And when he said that, he was saying, you know, each person has their own job. And when it's battle stations, and he was in a couple of situations like that, but he said everybody knew what they were supposed to do. Some people had more knowledge that, okay, I know what I know they're supposed to be there, and so those who were in leadership made sure everybody was in their place. But some people were very specialized. Some had more knowledge, some in leadership, some just a certain thing they had to do. But everybody had a task. And at the moment of that battle stations or the battle, they had to all be ready in to do the thing that they were supposed to do at that moment in time. What you're supposed to do tomorrow at 11:30. What you're supposed to do for God on Thursday at 8:15 a.m. You say, hopefully I'll be in bed, but maybe so. I don't know, whatever you're supposed to be doing. That God says, I want you to be ready. And so those days where you get a little carnal and you say, man, I don't feel like reading the Bible today. I just don't feel like being in the Word today. I just don't feel like spending time with God in prayer. And I don't feel like spending my time that I'm supposed to be. That'll be the day that God says, hey, today is the day. This is the moment now. Serve me where you're at with what you have at this moment in time. That's what God wants you to do. And you say, oh man, I'm not ready. Why? You miss time in the Word? I'm really trying, and so far I've been fairly successful, of keeping up with our memory verse. I remember we left off for a year and then we started again. I think it were happening about this time when we did it before, everyone started to peter out. And now everyone's looking at the overhead. For the first 3 months, everybody had it memorized. And then sort of we drifted away a little bit. So I'm really trying. So I have all my verses on my phone. And sometimes I'll be walking through the auditorium. I'll just take a few minutes and go there and go over my verses. And I found out that when I'm doing that, there is a sense in which my mind is drawn very particularly, very clearly to that truth, and I feel more ready to do what God would have me to do. And so when we take time to get into the Word, God uses that to transform our thoughts and our minds to make us perfect. Not sinlessly perfect, but in the sense of being perfectly ready at that moment in time. Because we're all at different levels of spiritual maturity here. And so God says, I want you to do what you can for me right now where you're at. Because you can do where you're at with what your time, your situation, what the pastor could not do. And the pastor can do what you couldn't do. But we're all in our situations. See, be ready. Be ready. And how are you going to be ready? Get into the Word. So God says, that's what I want you to do. So you're perfectly ready to do those good works. The second thing God says here, so readiness for you, readies you for service, and then equips you for service. Thoroughly furnished means to be outfitted, equipped. God makes you what you need to be, perfectly ready, and then he furnishes you. So where is the equipment? You know, you can go back to the sailors. All those had special equipment for their certain tasks, and they knew how to use that equipment. So God says, you know what? This is the equipment. It counseled you, didn't it? It ministered to your heart, didn't it? And so he said, now I want you to use it in other people's hearts. Thoroughly furnished, equipped to do the task. He said, well, I just don't know how. And I've been there. I'll go back to the thing with Mr. Berg. The whole reason I was taking that class, it was a counseling class, and I knew the scripture, but I said, oh man, I got this toolbox and it's full, but I'm not sure which instrument to use in certain situations. You know, you don't normally, you know, pull out a electric tester to work on. I'm trying to think of something I can work on. I don't know. Anyway, you get the right tool for the right thing. Yeah, I don't even know how to use it, do I, Brother Gary? In fact, never mind. I was going to say something else, and I just... all I'm saying is, God says, I want to give you the tools, and the tools is in the Word. And it's interesting, my wife, she didn't go to grad school, and yet she knows the Word. And there's times where I ask her questions, and she'll say, well, that's, yeah, over here. I think there's something about that over here. And then we start talking, yeah, that's where it's at. And she'll say, well, here's some insight. And how did she get all that? Be reading the Word, studying the Word, just on her own. I mean, she went to Bible college, but she still knows stuff that I learned in grad school. And that comes from digging in the Word. And so God wants us to be equipped to minister. And it's in the Word, folks. It's in the Word. You don't need to go to Reader's Digest or pick some how-to book. And I don't have any problem with some of those things, but we need to understand our equipment for ministry is found in the Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 24, David said, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And so God gets us ready and he gets us equipped so he can use us in his ministry, as it says there, unto all good works. So God's got something for you. So the admonition then is this. Let's get in the Word. Let's allow it to teach us. Let's allow it to instruct us so that we're ready. Ready whenever the time God opens the door. He said, I want you ready. Battle station. Do-do-do-do. And he says, I've given you the equipment. Know the Scripture. You say, well, I don't know. Well, here I believe that when you get in ministry and the moment of time comes when you're ready, and that means your heart's ready. I am what I need to be. And when you get in that moment of ministry, I think God will bring to your mind truth that will apply to that situation. You'll be able to help those whom God has called you to help. So let's remember to be in the Word. Okay, let me pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for its power, its impact. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's ministry through it. And Father, may we as your people, may we not neglect it. May we not set it aside. May we not think that we have read it once or read it twice. Father, help us to realize you want to minister to us each day in a very personal way, so that we're ready for what you would have us to do. And then, Lord, as we accumulate your truth in our hearts, our minds, Lord, that you will give us the equipment we need to accomplish your work in this life.